Let us then turn in God's Word to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, we'll be looking specifically at the first 12 verses as we consider salvation by grace, as we consider Abraham as the pattern for our salvation. Romans chapter 4, we'll look at the first 12 verses. I was sorely tempted to look at the full 25 verses, but I'm afraid we'd be here till noon, so I'll try to get you out of here before noon. We'll see. Romans chapter 4, beginning reading at verse 1 and reading through verse 12. So let us hear together the word of Almighty God. What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute sin. Does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only, or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it accounted, while he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. And the father of circumcision to those who are not only of are of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. Thus far, the reading of God's Word, may He add His blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we open God's Word this morning, we look at the faith of Abraham and as well of David. And as we look at the faith of Abraham and at the faith of David, we see that God saves not because of works, not through works, but God saves through faith, before ever doing any works. And that's what we want to see as we look at God's Word this morning. Abraham, David, throughout all history, all people were saved in the same manner. The external ceremonies changed, but salvation in the Old Testament is the exact same salvation as we have in the New Testament. They were looking forward to Christ. We look back to Christ. And so the theme that we want to see as we look at God's Word this morning, Scripture's witness to believers being saved while sinners prior to any works. The Scripture's witness to believers being saved while sinners prior to any works. And as we look at the passage in verses 1 through 4, we see that Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. In verses 5 through 8, we see that God justifies the ungodly by faith. And in verses 9 through 12, we see that sacraments are seals of the righteousness received through faith. So first of all, verses 1 through 4, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Paul says, if we are justified by works, we have something to boast about. If it is our works, then we're able to boast. But as we think about this, remember what the first verses of chapter 3 state about all men. There is none righteous, no, not one. Jumping to verse 20 of that chapter. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And as I said, Paul here takes Abraham as the prototype of all believers. If Abraham was justified by works, He has something to boast about, but not before God. Even if my works show that I believe, they are not acceptable to God, but are stained with sin. Isaiah says, Isaiah 64 verse 6, but we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Notice two things. Our best righteousnesses, as the Catechism says, are filled with sin. Our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. They're like sails blowing us off of the map. And so we have nothing to boast about. Our best righteousnesses are stained with sin. Or 1 Corinthians 1:31, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. We cannot glory in ourselves. We've looked at that in previous weeks recently. We are justified by faith. We are just before God through faith, through what we believe, not what we do. Belief, we read. The belief of Abraham was accounted for righteousness. Verse 3, Abraham believed God. What does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. This is a direct quote from Genesis 15, verse 6. So, brothers and sisters, it wasn't that Abraham did so many good things. If you look at how Abraham lived, he had an awful lot of problems. And quite honestly, that's a comfort for us as Christians. Because we know that we do not live perfect lives all of our lives long. We're going to have to struggle with sin. But the redemption of God does not require us to live perfect lives. It requires the blood of Christ paid in my place. If salvation were by works, Paul continues, it would not be of grace. Now to him who works, verse 4, the wages are not counted as grace, but as death. If we have something that we can say, I did this. And by the way, sacraments are one of those things that people hang their hat on. I was baptized, I took the Lord's Supper. That's a work of man. And certainly there is grace communicated in those things. But it's not saving grace. It is the demonstration of what Christ has done, saving sinners. Christ is what? Christ's blood is what is of infinite value. Luke 17:7-10. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servant. We have done what it was our duty to do. Remember that. When we think we have lived up to the standard, by the way, we haven't. But when we think that we have, remember what Jesus says there. When you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what it is our duty to do. And in fact, as I said, we just don't deserve it. In fact, anyone who has examined themselves in the mirror of God's law knows that we deserve the opposite. We deserve hell. As the Catechism says, we daily increase our guilt. And so if it were by works, it would be debt. And God would therefore owe us salvation. And we must understand that it's not about our works. Those come from true belief. It is about God's grace. And so first of all, we know that Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Then in verses 5 through 8, we see that God justifies the ungodly by faith. Being justified by faith is grace. But to him who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Him who does not work, us, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, that faith is accounted as righteousness. Now let's not get too high on ourselves about our faith either. Paul states, Ephesians 2 verse 8, "For it by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Even our faith is the gift of God. And so Paul says, it's not saving by the wonder of our faith. It's not saving by our abilities. It is God who justifies the ungodly, who justifies apart from works. We look at David. The blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. It's not our works that save us. It is God's saving call. By or through faith in Christ that God saves us. Remember, we talked about that recently. How blessed it is to believe. It is a gift of God, as we just read. But more than that, our eternity is sure. Not in our works, not in our tenacity of holding on to Christ, but in God's free gift of salvation to those who believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, is the witness of Scripture. Not maybe. Not if God's having a good day. No, God tells us what He requires of us. But we realize that we have nothing that we can bring to Him. And so we only rely on Jesus Christ. We rely on His grace. It is not on account of the goodness of our works, but because of God's grace, whose lawless deeds are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Quoting from Psalm 32, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit." Note, it is not on account of our goodness, but because of God's undeserved favor, because of His grace. Psalm 85 verse 2, "You have forgiven the iniquity of your people, you have covered all their sin." Of ourselves, we're lawless, we're sinners. The only hope of our salvation is in God's grace. Notice that sin is not imputed. That word imputed is very important in our salvation. It is written to our account, and our sin is not accounted to us. It is accounted to Christ. Believers' sins are not imputed to us, but to Christ, who paid for individual actual sins in the place of believers. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 19, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. God justifies the ungodly by faith. And so, what are the sacraments? Sacraments are seals. Now, what is a seal? When you have the jar of aspirin, you don't eat the seal. It'd be silly, wouldn't it? We take that seal off, and that seal tells us that that jar of aspirin hasn't been tainted, hasn't been tampered with. Sacraments are seals. They tell us that what is inside of the gospel is true. And so we have the seal of God, His authority, saying, this is untainted. This is the salvation that is true and certain that we have in Jesus Christ. And so we have faith accounted for righteousness without the sacrament. Before Abraham was circumcised, before God gave him that sacrament, God states this of him: he believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now it is too easy for us to put our trust in sacraments, in baptism and communion. And the Jews did in circumcision. We read, Jesus said in Matthew 3, verse 9, "And do not think to say to yourself, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones." Our hope isn't in the fact that we got baptized sometime. In fact, if we do not believe, that baptism is a sign, is a witness against us. God places His name upon us, and if we do not believe, we're saying, "God, You said I'm Yours, and I'm not." What kind of rebellion is that? God's Word here is very clear, and it puts sacraments in their place. They seal to us the righteousness that believers have through faith in Christ. Verse 10, "How was it accounted? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised." Excuse me. And the sacraments are signs and seals of imputed righteousness. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while still uncircumcised. And they're signs. They point us to what faith do, sacraments are. And they are seals guaranteeing the fact of salvation through faith. A sign points us to something that's not the actual thing. We have a little sign on the outside of Eureka as we come in. You don't stop at the sign and say, "I'm here at Eureka." You come into town. It tells you where you are. So with the sacrament, we don't stop at the sign and say, "Okay, I'm here." The sacrament is very important, don't get me wrong. It shows that we are members of Christ. It shows and it brings to us the reminder of the grace of what God has done in our place, the blood, the body of our Savior broken and shed in our place. But we need to realize that that sign points us. It doesn't just say, "Okay, here you are at salvation," when you have that sign. It says, inside of this, in what Jesus has done, in that to which the sign points, is our salvation. And as well, as I've already said, the seal. The seal of the sacrament has the authority of God to tell us that salvation is assured. "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved," Paul says. "He who does not believe is condemned already." And so Abraham is the father to all those who believe, though they be uncircumcised or circumcised. He has salvation through faith. His faith is the prototype for our faith. And it's such a, as I said, it's such a joy. You read, the Bible does not present to us the Old Testament saints with no flaws. It shows them with their flaws. Again and again you read about Abraham and about David and about Moses making errors and sinning against God. And we see God's mercy again and again to sinners. And yet as we continue reading in the Old Testament, we're reminded that that mercy only goes so far. We need to have a righteous fear of being disobedient to God. God will judge. And if we do not believe in Jesus, we will be judged eternally. And so Abraham is the father to those who believe. As we talk about circumcision, about baptism, baptism replaces circumcision. We have the promise of the gospel encapsulated in the Lord's Supper, in baptism, shown to us in physical sign that we might point to the Savior, to His blood, to who, what He has done. That's what they are. They're signs and seals. They point to what we have in reality in Jesus Christ. And so salvation in the way of Abraham was saved is not limited to some time or some people group. Abraham is the father of circumcision to those who are not of the circumcision, who are of the circumcision, or to those who are not of the circumcision. but also to all who walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. And so it doesn't matter where our background is. It's a joy when we have people who grew up in the church. It's a joy when we have people who grew up outside of the church. And that doesn't matter. What matters is the gospel and faith in Jesus Christ. And as we have those who grew up and as we inside of the church and as we have those who grew up outside of the church, the main point is we have one common salvation through faith in the only Savior, in Jesus Christ. Colossians 2:11. In Him, that is Christ, you were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. We are circumcised in Christ's circumcision. And those who walk in the steps of the faith of Abraham, which he had while still uncircumcised. Abraham is the father of those who believe. So it doesn't matter, as I said, if we grew up in Christian families. It doesn't matter how sinful we are and have been. Now, certainly as Christians, we are pushed forward to live lives of thankfulness according to God's commandments. But whoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. And that's the wonder of what Christ did. He paid the penalty for sins in our place. He paid the penalty for Abraham's sins. He paid the penalty for the sins of all who believe, that we might have life. Not because we're so good, but because of what Christ has done fully on our behalf. Taking that penalty upon Himself, living perfectly in our place. That we might be imputed, instead of having our sins imputed to us, we have our sins imputed to Christ and Christ's righteousness put on our account. And so we have the joy of salvation in Jesus Christ. That He has paid that penalty in full. And we have the result of that. Life here on this earth and eternal life, such as we can't even begin to imagine in the new heavens and the new earth. Amen. Let us then bow our heads and our hearts before the throne of grace for our prayer, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and most gracious Savior, we stand in awe that our sins were accounted to Your account, and that You took that penalty in full, that You paid the fullness of the wages of sin, of God's wrath against sin, and that You paid it for many people, that You, who are true God and true man, could bear by Your Godhead the wages of sin, the wrath of God, and redeem us from that. And so, Lord, we come before You in awe. We come before You in thanksgiving. And we pray that we might truly live lives of thanksgiving to You and of praise. That Your holy name would be glorified and honored in our lives, in everything that we say and do and think, because of what a great salvation You have done for us. We pray, O Lord, that we might truly live out of that salvation to the glory and to the honor of Your name. We pray in thanksgiving for what Christ has done. And we pray, O Lord, as Christ taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.